Well, good morning. It's great to be with you on your first service back. I'm just going to get myself set up here for a few minutes. But you know, in all of this strange season, God is in control. Amen? And God still sits on the throne. And he knows the beginning from the end. And you might have had a difficult time in this season, or you might have had a good time, or I'm sure all of us have struggled, because I certainly have. But God is in control. And God is in control of your future. And exciting times are ahead. Now, forgive me. I might provoke you this morning a little bit, but it's great to be here. Thank you for having us. Your first Sunday back. If you're watching online, you're very, very welcome. But surely, I heard Tracy say very greatly and articulated it a lot better than I can, that you've got a new pastor on the 24th of July. And it was a bit like, You've got a new pastor on the 24th of July. Come on. You're not allowed to sing in church, but you can celebrate. And a new season. I don't believe it's a new season. I believe it's a new era is ahead, you know. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, would you go to Joshua 3? Now, I haven't picked Joshua because your new pastor is Josh, just the way that it fell. But I want to just put a message on my title this morning, that opportunity is knocking, it's time to cross over. Opportunity is knocking, it's time to cross over. So I'm going to read Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. Verse 7, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river.' Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jezebites." There's a lot of ites, isn't there? Verse 11, "See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. All the earth will go down into Jordan ahead of you. Now then, I choose 12. Choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, run from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now Jordan is in the flood all during harvest, Yet as soon as the priests were carrying the ark, reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarthan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Abra, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of this Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. A lot to take in there, but may God add his blessing unto his word. Amen. The people of Israel were at a critical point. They were at a critical point and they had to make a decision. They had to make a choice. There was a critical point of their future. They'd been wandering for 40 years. The promised land wasn't actually that far away, but it was in touching distance. The people of Israel, the people of God, needed to make a big decision, to put their whole lot into trusting God or decide to keep camping where they'd been for the last 40 years. And I believe this passionately this morning, that this church is in a critical position. A critical position for your future. Like the people of Israel, you've got a big decision to make. And I believe this passionately, that we're in a season, we're in an era. This is a crossover moment for this church. You need to make a big decision to put your whole lot in and trust God. Or are you going to continue to camp in the place that we used to know? The last 50 years, there's been some great testimonies, some great foundations that have been set. But 50 years on, we're in 2021, we need a new move of God. Now we need to make a decision as people, are you going to cross over or are you going to camp in the old last 50 years? Got to make that decision. This church has got a fantastic history, a fantastic heritage, and that needs to be honoured. Never forget that, and we need to honour that. In fact, this history, this foundation, this core that's been built in this church, on this site for the last 50 years and longer, and we're going to celebrate that in the next few weeks, is set up for the foundation for the future of this church. This church has got a great future in the Lord, amen? But you've got to choose this morning. If you're watching online or you're watching in this week, you've got to choose. Are you going to make the big decision? Are you going to cross over? I know this isn't a perfect church either. No church is perfect. I know mistakes have been making. I mean, some things haven't gone right. But the strong foundation is set. But you know, if you are prepared to cross over this morning, God has got greater things ready for you. Should have been more amens in the room. Amen. If you're prepared to cross over this morning, God has got greater things going ahead than what's happened in the past. The best story is yet to be written. And you get to play a part in that story. Are you prepared this morning? Are you prepared this week? Are you prepared to cross over? Yeah. Talk is cheap. You can say yes to me. I'm not trying to G you up this morning. You've got to get a hold of this. If you want God to move in this church, you've got to cross over. Because here's the sad reality. That if we camp in the last 50 years, we become stagnant, and maybe we've become a little bit stagnant already. And when we become stagnant, that means no life is coming into the place. And then eventually, whatever gets into a stagnant pond dies. If we don't cross over this week, this morning, over the next few weeks, sadly, this church is going to die. But we know that Jesus is modeled his church. Local church is important. God does not want this church to die. Jesus does not want this church to die. This is a crossover moment. From the youngest to the oldest, from the oldest member. This is a crossover. We all go together. Today is a new day. It's not only a new season. I believe it's a new era for Elam Durham Road Church. History is important, but it is time for a new story. New testimonies to be written. It's time for a new move of God. It's time to make a big decision. Do you continue to camp where we were? Sometimes restricted by the past. And if we do, sadly, I've mentioned this, we'll die. But God's heart is this church doesn't just survive, that it would thrive. God's in thrival business. Thriving and rival, you know, revival, that's kind of put together, thrival. It's not into death for churches. He died for the bride of Christ. He died for the church. And he rose again to bring us life and to give us a future. This church has a future. We've got to be prepared to cross over. God wants a church that would thrive. A youth work that is packed to the gills. A kids work that challenges any other kids work in the city for what they do. Not because it's who's the best. It's about being the best. Not about being the best church in the city. It's about being the best church for the city. I come from a church just across the river. I don't want to be the biggest and the best church. Now, God will bless and honor. I believe that. I just want to be right for the city. The best church for the city. Some things that we can learn from Joshua. And I want to just maybe mention some of them. And this might help you in crossing over. Now, don't get upset with me this morning. I'm just the messenger. I believe I've sought God and I'm bringing God's word this morning. So the first thing, maybe you want to write this down. This is important because you're going to have to do some of these things at home. If you are serious about crossing over, you need to consecrate your life fresh to God. If you are serious about crossing over, you need to consecrate your life fresh to God. In verse 5, Joshua tells the people very clearly, Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord wants to do amazing things among you. Not Israel. He's doing that and he's done that. He wants to do amazing things in you. Say you. Tell the person next to you, if you're close enough, God wants to do amazing things through you. I know sometimes that's hard to believe, that God chooses us. But do you know why he chooses us? People who keep messing up, people who keep sinning, people that don't always meet the mark. Because he's got nobody else to work with. He specializes in people like us. People who keep messing up, people that think they've got it right and then something goes pear-shaped. But God specializes in bringing life into us. If you're going to be serious, you need to consecrate yourself before God. Consecration is about becoming clean, purifying yourself. Maybe you need to lay some sin down. Maybe you need to change some attitudes. Maybe you need to change some ways that you've been thinking or the way that you talk to people. In church and out of church. Don't think that you, just because you come to church, that people don't badmouth you. They shouldn't. People don't say that you should be doing things differently when they should be behind you, or they're talking behind your back. It should stop in church. Shouldn't happen in church. We're not about that. We should be about building each other up, encouraging each other. Nobody gets left behind because we're doing this together. Consecration, doesn't matter how long you have been saved, you can consecrate yourself before the Lord every day. It's about giving your life to Christ and surrendering to his lordship. You see, this isn't Josh's church. When Josh arrives, he's going to be the one that's been given the stewardship to look after the church and speak into the life. This is Jesus's church. This is God's church, and we need to surrender to his leadership. If you're serious in crossing over, you need to consecrate everything that's in your life. Say to the person next to you, everything. The thing, everything means everything, doesn't it? It doesn't say exclude that little bit, or not that part of my life, or not this part of my... If you're serious in crossing over, you need to consecrate everything that's in our lives. The things that you do, the things that you say, the places that you dwell, how we live. Our attitudes, we need to make ourselves holy and dedicated to his lordship. I want to call you back to an intimacy with Jesus. It's time to get intimate. If you want to cross over as part of this consecration, you need to get intimate with Jesus. Because everything starts and ends with Jesus. If we get intimate with Jesus, if we get in his presence, everything else will be added. Everything else will be given in our lives. Got to get intimate with Jesus, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. Out of your intimacy, you prepare yourself ready to cross over. Out of your intimacy, you prepare a place. Out of your consecration, you prepare a place to advance the kingdom of God. This isn't just about Elam Sunderland on Durham Road. This is about you thriving as a local church, but thriving in advancing the kingdom of God. And Elam Durham Road in Sunderland have got their part to play. Very much so. But it's time to make a big decision. Are you ready to cross over? A consecrated life is one that seeks to bring honor to the name of Christ and to his church every day. If you are bad-mouthing somebody in this church, stop now. Because you're not bringing honor to God. If you're moaning about something that's going on in the background because there's no perfect church, you're not honoring God. Yes, people need to be spoken to. We need to talk things out and have communion and speak. But if you are harming the church by your attitude, it's got to stop now. If you are harming the church by the way that you are thinking, by the way that you're not responding to things, it's got to stop now. Oh, thank you in the Lord. It is a new day where it can stop now. You don't have to live in the old place. You don't have to camp there. If you're prepared to cross over, you've got to consecrate yourself, but that's every part of your life. When we consecrate our lives, we put ourselves in a great position for God to take us into greater things. We've seen some great things over the last 50 years, but God wants to take us into greater things. things that we can only dream or imagine, things that he's put on our hearts as promises over this church for many, many years, and we feel they're not going to come to fruition. Well, God's saying, my time is not done with this church. It's time to awaken some of those promises. It's time to shake it up again. Puts us in a greater position for God to do something amazing. A place that allows us to cross over into something new. Maybe this morning you're watching online. Maybe you're in the room. Let me just mention this. Maybe this new season you have to accept Jesus into your life. Jesus died for you to have relationship with you. Now, if you're watching online or in the room, but crossing over, part of if you want to change your life and not live in the past, giving your life to Jesus will give you the future that you're looking for. Don't hesitate anymore. Give your life to Jesus this morning. It starts with a prayer. Speak to somebody in the church that you know. Connect with somebody and say a simple prayer of giving your life to Jesus. If we're going to consecrate ourselves, there's got to be a new reverence, a new fear of God. It's all part of the consecration. If you are serious about consecrating yourself before the Lord, I can't call this because I'm not your pastor. But maybe before your new pastor arrives, maybe you need to be doing some fasting. Maybe you need to be intimate, not to change the way the pastor's thinking. So that actually if there's things that you need to deal with, you clear them up before the pastor gets here. Give Josh a sporting chance of moving forward by praying and fasting, getting intimate with Father God. Number two, if you're serious about crossing over, you need to draw a line in the sand. In John 8, 1 to 11, we see a woman is caught in adultery. It says nothing about the man. Where was the man? He was probably out the back window. He should have been up for a count too. And we see the woman is caught in adultery. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees bring the woman, dragging all the dignity that she had left in her in front of Jesus, trying to catch him out, trying to, if he says this, we'll get him. And if he says this, we'll get him. And Jesus bends down, knowing what the woman has done, and he draws a line in the sand. Do you know what the line represents? Daughter, do not sin anymore. Daughter, do not cross this line anymore. And maybe in your life, you need to draw a line in some of the things that have gone on. It's time to put them to bed. It's time to leave them at the cross. Maybe there's things that have gone in the church in this history that have not allowed you to move forward because you're not prepared to draw a line under them. Draw a line in the sand. He's saying to this woman, you are forgiven. You can be different. You can live differently. This morning, draw a line in the sand. Because you can be different. Your attitude can be different. Your moving forward can be different. Are you prepared to draw a line in the sand? It's difficult because in these four walls, it's very easy to say, yes, I'm going to consecrate myself. Yes, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. If you want this church to advance and advance in the kingdom of God, you have to draw a line in the sand. Well, you don't know, such and such pastor did it this way. And that pastor did it this way. And we haven't done that. Today is a new day. Honor the past, but don't let it stop you going into the future. Draw a line in the sand. Oh, I don't like that person as a leader. She's a woman. Get a grip. Draw a line in the sand. Oh, I don't like how she plays the keyboard. Get a grip. Draw a line in the sand. We all should be on the same page trying to advance the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about these ladies, that if these ladies didn't lead the church, as in Louise and Tracy and the ladies leading the bits and bobs, this church would be shut. Well done, ladies. But if you can't see the ladies in the future of this church going forward, draw a line in the sand, get on board, or find another church. Can I say that? I already have. But we're not messing about. If you want this church to thrive, if you want to see all these chairs full again when we can see them full, we've got to draw some lines in the sand. over our attitudes, over some of the ways that we thought, over our finances. The kingdom of God advances with finances as well. Yes, he's our source, but he's put us stuff within us so that we need to provide for this church. Draw a line in the sand that no longer am I going to be tight with my finances. No longer am I going to be that negative person. No longer am I going to be just a pain in the bum because I can be a pain in the bum. People like being pains in the bum. Why? We're all on the same page. Maybe you've got to deal and draw a line in the sand with past hurts. The people of Israel needed to deal with behaviours, past hurts, attitudes, mindsets before setting off. You see, this is what happened with the people of Israel. The promised land was already in touching distance. They could see it. But for 40 years, they're walking in the wilderness. They could see the promised land. All we got to do is cross that river. But God kept saying, until you get this right, until you change your attitudes, until you change your mindsets, until you draw a line in the sand, do another lap. How many times in our lives should we ask for forgiveness, draw a line in the sand? And God says, well, I'll get to you in a minute because we're not prepared to do it. And he makes us do another lap. Makes us do another lap. That's what happened with the people of Israel. Do another lap. The promised land is right there. But until you're ready, do another lap. And as for this church, the promised land, the new season is just there. Let's not be in a position where God says, do another lap. Let's get in and get ready to enter in to what God has got for us, the fulfillment of his promises. Number three, if you're serious about crossing over, you've got to honour the past, but don't camp there. I've already mentioned this a little bit. The people of Israel could have chose to stay put and gone nowhere. You see, what happens is we get comfortable in the places that we live. It's not the best place for us always because we're just not comfortable knowing what the future holds. And you can stay right here the last 50 years, or we can choose to move forward. You don't know what to expect, but what you can expect is Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's important that we honour the past, but if we continue to stay there, we'll become stagnant if we haven't already. And sadly, if we stay there, we will eventually die. Old ways, what other pastors have said, should all be honoured. But don't let it get in the way of the future. Are you hearing me this morning? You're at a critical point for this church. This is a crossover moment. You see, we can honour the past and still move into the future. Elisha, with the school of prophets, he took over from Elijah. And they're outgrowing where they were and they're going to move on. He didn't just leave Elijah where he was. He said, servant, father, the one that's put into me, you will come with us. Now, Elijah going with Elisha didn't affect the future, but he still honored the past. So we can still honor the past, but don't let it affect your future. Take it with you, but embrace the future. Believe this passionately, that God wants to do something new in this church. God wants to do something new among you. You see, new wine can't be put in old wineskins. The reason for this is that the old wineskin has been stretched to the limit. It's been made brittle and it's not fit for purpose. We can't afford to be a church that's not fit for purpose. We're here to bring people to Jesus and to advance the kingdom of God. However we do that, whatever it looks like. I felt this for a while that the Holy Spirit has been saying to me, I am going to come in a different way. You've seen me do some stuff, and some of you in this room have seen him do stuff. And he's saying, you've not seen anything yet. Don't conform me to a box. Don't conform me to the way of your thinking, because I'm going to do things that you're not going to understand. But your job is to embrace. I'm going to do things that are going to challenge your theology, but it's me moving. You've got to embrace. Embrace things. Move forward. You see, As the Holy Spirit changed our landscape, I believe that we will see a new move of God, miracles, people being set free, people coming to him in many numbers. We look at the passage again and we see that they crossed over in flood season. You see it later on in the story. It's ridiculous. Why would you cross over in flood season? Flood season means every bank is up and swelling, that things get swept away. It was that powerful. Fishing boats and people's nets were swept away. And God says, this is the time that you would move out. Why? Because it shows how mighty and how powerful our God is. That in the midst of whatever the situation, when it's not the right time, God says, I can still move. And he leads them across the water, a place that's not safe, in flood season. That's how miraculous our God is. And what a season we are in. This pandemic, it's knocked us, it's thrown us. But this has set God up right for the opportunity to lead us into something new. It's time for new wine. It's time to have a new wine skin. Maybe it's time, I mentioned this already, to get new intimacy with Jesus. Because out of intimacy, things happen. Let me give you a quote about being stuck in the past. There's a reason your windshield is bigger than your rear view mirror. Where you're headed is much more important than what you've left behind. Another one, the past becomes the present, you lose the future. And the last one, growth is painful, change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. Where we are now as a church is not the place where you belong. It's time to cross over. God has got something so great and so amazing for this church. Are you prepared to make the decision? Are you prepared to cross over? I know time is coming to an end and I'm coming very closely to finishing. Are you feeling encouraged this morning? Are you feeling that you're ready to cross over? Amen. Number four, if you're serious about crossing over, you need to be one accord. The Israelites moved out and crossed over together. They left nobody behind. Nobody was going to struggle on their own. They had to work together. Nobody was going to do this thing of moving forward on their own. It wasn't going to happen. Why? Because they were dedicated to each other. They loved each other. Do you know what? You're not going to get on with everybody in the church, but you can love them. Oh, Pastor, our big thing in our church is love God and love people. But the problem is when you preach it, it comes and bites you in the bum because it's that person that you just want to give fivefold ministry to, the laying on of hands. But God says, love them and be gracious. There's nobody in this church that needs fivefold ministry, is there, Granville? No, nobody needs the hands laying on here because this is a perfect church. There's no perfect church. Are you catching what I'm saying this morning? You've got to be in unity. If you're serious about crossing over, you've got your part to play. Every one of you have got a part to play. Are you ready to play your part? Are you ready to step up and ask for the ball? I used to play football many years ago when I had hips and cheekbones. And I wanted to be a player that wanted the ball because I wanted to do something with it. I wanted to be able to turn the game around. Are you prepared to get hold of the ball this morning? Don't just stand in the corner watching. Some footballers disappear on the pitch. Get part of the game. What's your part to play and be part of it? You've got a part to play. The kingdom of God advances better when we are for each other, when we move together. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, down the collar of his robe, of Aaron's robe. As if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. No more backbiting. No more fighting, no more underlining from behind scenes. It's got to stop. We're all guilty of that sometimes. It's got to stop. Because if you are going to advance, if you're going to move forward, if this church is going to thrive, we've got to be able to have unity together. This is why it's important that you start getting back in the room, because let's not forsake the gathering. It's great we can do stuff online, but we've got to get back in the room. This is why it's important when Pastor Josh arrives that you come to the service. This is why it's important that you go to the park if you can't get to the service, because fellowship is important. Unity is important. And God says, where there's unity, I command the blessing. Do you want blessing in this place? Start getting unified. Start working on the same page. Number five, this is my last point, and we're there. If you're serious about crossing over, you must be behind Pastor Josh. Submit to his authority. He sits under Christ, and he carries Christ's authority to run and steward this church. You've got to get behind him. You see, the people of Israel, it doesn't say that the people of Israel, as Joshua gave the order for them to move out, gather your stuff in 3 days, we're going to move out, we're going to cross over. You don't see them saying, well, the Benjamin tribe didn't like it, so they went up to Joshua. I'm not sure we can go that way. Do you know it's flood season? Didn't have other tribes come in and say, no, I'm not happy what food you're taking. Or, I can't believe that we're going that time in the morning. You're joking, I don't get up till. They were unified together. They got behind their leader. And you need to get behind the new pastor. He's going to have different ideas. He's going to have a different vision. He's got a vision from the Lord that's going to take this church into greater things. And we are called, you are called to love him, to support him, to get behind him, to be gracious with him, to pray for him, to support him, to get up and serve when he asks you to serve. It's Josh and the leader's authority to lead you through. You see what happened when they were crossing over? It didn't say, we'll send the tribe of Benjamin because they're the smallest tribe, and if we lose them, oh well. The leader stepped out first. They stood in the gap. They prepared the way. And Josh and the leaders of this church, they have been put into place to stand in the gap, to prepare the way, to lead you to a different place, a greater place in the Lord. But that's not going to happen unless you get behind him. Unless you die to self. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to Pastor Josh about some concerns that you might have, but do it in love. Do it in the right way. Many times I've been in front of my church and people have pulled me aside afterwards and they've absolutely beat me up. Well, it's a good job I know that my identity is in Christ. Because sometimes if we're in church, we've got to be gracious. We're not gracious. We're not kind. Get behind Josh and the team. Hebrews 13, 17 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they were keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and without groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Philippians 2, 29, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honour such men. My time has come to an end this morning. I hope that you've caught my heart, that you are at a place, an opportunity, critical point of moving forward. Please catch God's heart this morning. Don't miss the opportunity to move forward. We don't want to be a church that's stagnant and dies. We want to be a church that's full of thrival, is revival and moving forward and thriving. God has got greater things for this church. He's not done with you. But we've got to be prepared to cross over. Those things that I've talked about, you've got to put them into practice this week and the following weeks. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, this is a critical point for this church. And Lord, you died for this church so it could have life and so that they could thrive. So this church could advance the kingdom. So this church could make a difference in the city of Sunderland. Father, as your people, would you help us to get on board? Would you help us to consecrate ourselves? Draw a line in the sand if we've got to and move forward. Help us to get behind Pastor Josh and the leadership team as things move forward. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.